every screen I look at here reminds us of the heartache and heartbreak of Nepal and the thousands of people who've lost their lives and have been displaced with the earthquake. And I'd like to think that you're generously giving to help these people. I'll remind you of, indeed, ways that you can do that a little later in the programme. But I want to speak to Rachel Erskine, who's available to speak to us. So, Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, Rachel, you're originally from this part of the world. You're working over in Nepal at the moment with one of the teams, and it's a French team, is that right?
That's right. I'm from East Belfast, but I work for a French NGO, and we're on our way at the moment. We've had a bit of trouble landing in Kathmandu because the airport is backed up, but we're on our way, and we've got some information coming through fairly regularly from the people that are already there, so I should be able to give you a bit of an idea of what's happening.
First of all, in relation to the Kathmandu airport, we're hearing this morning that they're sending in special equipment to make it easier for the authorities at the airport to get the assistance and the aid away from the airport towards the areas that it needs to go to. How much of a gridlock situation is Kathmandu airport at present?
That's a very good question. We know... from what I know, there's only space for five planes to be on the tarmac at one time, which is what makes it tricky. And because there's a bit of a backlog, so many people have been trying to get through in the last few days. So what is tending to happen is planes are having to kind of circulate or turn back to their original destination. That's about as much as I can tell you.
And with regards to the organisation you work for, is it it's one of the international agencies? Which one are you with?
That's right. It's called Solidarité Internationale, so international solidarity, it roughly translates as. So we're based in Paris, but we work in 19 different countries. And our job is really to meet the basic vital needs of people that have been affected by conflict or natural disaster, sometimes both. So drinking water, food and shelter.
And so, have you been able to
exactly the type of crisis.
Have you been able to make progress along the road towards the main affected area?
Well, what the advantage we have is that we're working in partnership with a medical NGO who have been in Nepal for the past 10 years, and that's why we're able to benefit from the information they have from their teams on the ground. So at the moment they're conducting an assessment of what the situation is and what the most pressing needs are. And that way, that lets us work out how we might be able to respond. And I think there are some problems on the roads, which are fairly blocked. We've got some small lorries that we've hired to take the aid through, because only the smaller ones are getting through from the information I have. What we plan to do is head towards the east, even though the epicenter of the earthquake was to the west of Kathmandu. There are already quite a lot of actors present in that area. So we're going to head towards the east, northeast of the country, on the way to China. There's a district called Sindal Bachok, which has been declared as the worst affected district by the Nepalese authorities. There's an estimated 1,000 dead, but it's a very rough estimate. The information is filtering through very slowly, and we hear that 95% of the houses in the district have been destroyed, so there are some really urgent needs in terms of basic services, water, sanitation and electricity.
And on the ground, do you feel that you're prepared to do, you're prepared for what you need to do when you get there? Because the pictures just seem to be of devastation and death. It's soul destroying watching it.
It is. No, I would quite agree with you there. I mean, it's hard for us to know what to expect. We have already, as an organisation, we have experience of this kind of disaster, this kind of scale of disaster, most notably in Haiti in 2010, where we intervened just as the earthquake had struck. So, I mean, obviously it's very difficult on a human level. It's difficult because you see so much suffering and you feel like you can never do enough to help. But I guess we can rely on our experience and our knowledge of this type of situation. We know more or less what we're able to do, the kind of needs that there are in this kind of situation and how we can respond to that. But obviously we've got to adapt our response to the situation that we find when we arrive on the ground.
How important is it that people actually give money at this point in time?
Well, I'm not very objective, but it's pretty essential. It's really a great help for us. It helps us it helps us react as soon as possible. It makes us flexible. It means that we're not so reliant on funding from institutional donors. It's essential to the first, the emergency response, the first activities we're able to put in place. We're able to do that only thanks to the generosity of the general public, really. So I would say it's an essential part of what we do, and we're really grateful.
Absolutely. 5,006 people officially dead in the earthquake. 5,006 people being recovered as you make your way towards giving the assistance and the help that you're able to give with your NGO team, and thousands more expected to be found to be dead, as this week goes by. The devastation and the rebuilding of the area. Everyone does need to help. How come you're part of it, Rachel? What led you to be part of the NGO team out of France?
Good question. It wasn't necessarily the plan. I went to school in Northern Ireland in Hollywood, and then I went on to study politics, international relations, a bit of human rights and humanitarianism, and I studied French. So I came to France almost 7 years ago to work as a teacher, and then I started to get involved. I did a bit of volunteer work, and a lot of luck, really, being in the right place at the right time, and the fact that I was an English speaker was a big help too, especially for a French organisation. So I've been working for Solidarité Internationale for the past 5 years, a mixture of headquarters and field missions. I've been in Afghanistan and most recently in the Philippines. So it's a great job. I mean, it can be hard going, but it's a great job.
Well, you're doing real work, girl. Absolutely real work. And good luck to you and the rest of your team and to all the other people who are involved in helping. Yeah. Listen,
thank you. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk a bit about it.
Much
appreciated.
Not a problem. Not a problem. And hopefully, as a result of you speaking, people will be looking at the various ways that they can donate to help the poor, unfortunate people of Nepal at this moment in time. Rachel, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks. Have a nice day.
That is Rachel Erskine, who's with Solidarité Internationale, the French NGO team.